Hello everybody, bringing you some greetings from across the Atlantic, from Salford in England. My name's Chris Lane, and it's great to be with you all like this over the internet at Lambrick Park Church. And hello to Scott and all of you who are kind of watching today. We're in another lockdown in England at the moment, our third one that we've had. So I'm coming to you from my shed in my garden. It's about the only quiet space I can find in the house at the moment. I've got three children who are aged 15, 12 and 10, who are all at home doing their work. And my wife, Esther, as well, who's working from home. So we're all trying to find spaces to do our work from, and this is my space at the moment. So it's great to be with you. Thank you so much for asking me to come and share a bit of the Bible and a bit of our story with you. We have in common Lucy Napa-Harris, who is an absolute legend. Of course, she's known as Lucy Rosenberg. We used to call her LNH when she was with us in our church in Salford. And so it's Lucy who's made this connection happen. And I'm really excited about that. Just a little bit about me briefly. I'm a lecturer and tutor in theology at a college called St. Miletus College, which is trains Anglican ministers. I'm actually not an Anglican, but I work for the college training their vicars, and I do a lot of teaching in mission, church planting, pioneering, a bit of ecclesiology and some things like that. So I do that 3 days a week, and the rest of my time I help to coordinate a little network of church leaders who are working in inner city areas in the UK. And also do a bit of writing. I'm writing a second book at the moment, which is about the way that the Bible is used by people in inner city areas. And so I'm working on that at the moment, nearly halfway through it. And then I also help to lead a church called Langworthy Community Church in Salford. And we're a church that was planted 16 years ago, in 2004 anyway, whenever that was, and in quite an estate in Salford called Langworthy, which is known, certainly in those days when we first moved in, it's known around the country for deprivation, a lot of crime, and many different kind of social issues like that. And I've grown up in Salford, so it's a very familiar place to me. And when we felt like God had was telling us to move into the area, which was way back in 1999, when I was young and I used to have hair, it was great those days. And and we really felt like God had told us to move into the estate. We were praying for it for a long time, but then often when you pray for things, I don't know if you've noticed this, God says to you, why don't you be part of the answer to that prayer? And our prayer was that God would transform the estate. You know, it was a place that was so lawless, really, in the mid to late 90s. And we really felt like God was leading us to prayer, and God was breaking our hearts, you know, for that place. And we would worship the Lord, and the church that I grew up in was at the top of the hill. That Langworthy was just down the hill from there. So we would stand at the windows of the church and pray, God, would you revive this place? God, would you bring people to you? And as we prayed, that was when the Lord said to us, well, you're going to be part of the answer to this prayer. You're going to be one of the people who moves into that estate and not just does a little mission and goes down and gives out free cupcakes, or tries to, do a little mission and then go back to your house a little bit further away in a nicer area. But you're going to commit yourself to that place. And that was 21 years ago now, when we all moved in. And loads of us moved in at the time. We were part of this project called the Eden Project, and a bunch of us who are youth workers moved into that area just to live and to be alongside the people that God was calling us to, and to pray for God's kingdom to come, and then to be a part of the answer to those prayers. And so that's what we've been working on for the last 21 years, and perhaps we'll be there for the next 21 years or the next 50 years or whatever it is, whatever it takes, whatever God says to us. So that's a little bit of our setting, and the verses I felt like God wanted me to bring to you today was from Isaiah 25, verse 6, and it says, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken." And this picture of this great banquet that God is preparing for all nations has been something that has been a great encouragement to me over these last 20 years, 21 years. And at the heart of it is a table that God has prepared for all, that God invites everyone to. And even in my academic research, I've focused on this idea that God invites everyone to his table, and to look at the way that Jesus did that in his own ministry. And I want to give a couple of reflections about that in the way that Jesus used the meal table as part of his message of the kingdom. I think everything we've done in Langworthy, and Lucy would tell you about this, has been centered around eating food together and welcoming all to that table. And I think one of the big things we've been seeing is the transformation that comes when people sit at the table and just to be with each other. Because in Jesus' ministry, he created a lot of controversy by what he did around the meal table. You know, people were actually outraged by Jesus's behavior in terms of his kind of eating habits, and because in his culture that was the way that you defined what your place was in society and what your place was in relation to God. It was defined by what happened around the table, who you ate with, who you didn't eat with, where you sat when you were eating, who you sat near, who you sat further away from, whether you were invited to certain tables. All of that was the way that people defined their identity as people in the world and people of faith as well. So your importance, your rank, your religious acceptability. For the Jewish groups like the Pharisees and the Essenes, there was this huge emphasis on being ritually clean before you were allowed to come to the table. Because if you came to someone's table and you were unclean in any way, you would make the rest of the people at the table unclean as well. You know, the rabbis taught their followers, don't eat with sinners. Don't eat with the unclean. Don't eat with the, certainly not with the Gentiles, with the nations. And then Jesus comes eating and drinking, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And people were outraged by this. And there's so much I could say about this. I've got like a 20,000 word dissertation that I could talk from. But I really felt that the Lord wanted me to bring you just two things today. That Jesus, the first one is this, that at Jesus's table, the invitation comes first and then the transformation. The invitation is first and then the transformation. This is the opposite to the religious praxis of the day, which was you need to become clean first and then you can come to the table. So the transformation had to come first, and then you could be invited to the table. But Jesus was basically saying, whoever you are, whatever you've done, come and eat, come and belong, taste and see that the Lord is good. And in that process, in that order, people were changed forever. Levi eats with Jesus and everything changes for him. Zacchaeus invites Jesus to his house for some food, and it costs him a lot of money, doesn't it, near the end of Luke. And so he's got this idea, I'd love to eat with this guy, and Jesus eats with him, and everything changes for him. At Jesus's table, lepers are healed, women are affirmed and discipled, children are valued. Everything changes in those moments. One of the people that Lucy was good friends with while she was in Salford was a guy called Gordon. When we first met Gordon, he told us he was 60, but actually he was about 75. He was that kind of character. He was a musician, an ex-marine, an artist, a storyteller, and he loved to have chats with me about the meaning of life. And eventually he began to experience the author of life. We had this arts cafe that Lucy used to play at, and we would invite different bands and singers to perform, and Gordon loved music. And there was one night when he came to me at the end and he said to me, Chris, right, there's this funny thing that's happened to me tonight, and I don't quite understand it yet, but for about the last hour, I've been sitting here and I've had this weird feeling that I've not had for years and years. And I'm wondering what it was, and I've realised I'm happy. And I've not felt it for so long. And he said, you know, I remember at church last week when you said, like, you could have like an experience of God. And he said, I think that's what I've just had now. And it was an amazing... It's an amazing conversation, because it wasn't just in church. You sat around the table with some friends and listening to music, and God met with him in that moment. And he, on that following Sunday, he came along to church again. He'd not been coming to church very long. And the first time he came to receive, we did communion that Sunday, the bread and the wine, and he spoke to me afterwards, and I remember during that session, I read the stuff from Paul, where Paul talks about the meal that Jesus gave us, and I explained it, and just before people came, I said, Jesus invites everyone to his table. If you want to follow him, if you want to experience his love, whoever you are and whatever you've done, you are invited. He invites you today. And I invited the church to come and to receive. Sometimes we'll pass it, the bread and the wine, round. But this occasion, we invited them to come, to stand up, get out of their seats and come and receive. And I looked as the church stood together and formed a queue. And Gordon was one of them in that queue. And I remember, and he'd never come before for communion. And I remember looking and looking down that queue and feeling like I was about to cry, partly because I knew the stories of each of those people, and I knew the brokenness that some of them were going through, and I knew the stories of pain and hardship and poverty, but they were all hungry for Jesus. And that's the invitation. Are you hungry? Not are you holy? And that was how you got on the Pharisees' table. But in Jesus' table it was, are you hungry? Come and I'll make you holy. And so people came, and Gordon was one of them, and he came. And he said to me afterwards, I've never come for communion before, because I've always thought because of the things I've done in the past, that I didn't deserve it, because I've been a bad person in my life at times, and I wasn't worthy of it, and God, I wasn't good enough for God. But then you said, everyone's invited to the table. And for the first time in my life, I feel like I can be forgiven and that I can have a fresh start. And he said this phrase to me, now I feel like I belong. Now I feel like I belong. And whatever age he was that day, 70 something, it's never too late. It's never too late to respond to Jesus's invitation to come and receive and be transformed in those moments. It wasn't long after that that Gordon produced this stunning painting at the centre of which was Jesus on the cross, and there were different biblical scenes around it, and he brought it to church, and I prepared a talk, and he said, can I just say about this painting, and he gave it to us as a church. But he'd spent about, eventually it was about 25 minutes explaining all the different scenes in it and the different experiences he'd had of God whilst he was painting it. And eventually I literally just had to scrap my talk because there wasn't enough time, but also because he'd produced a cracking sermon, and it was a testimony of the way that when we respond to Jesus' invitation, whatever age we're at, whether we're 3 or 73, it's never too late, it's never too early. He invites you today to come and experience hope, love, joy, peace, a new start. Whatever you've done in the past, it cannot prevent Jesus inviting you again to come back to him, to come to his table just like Gordon did. And I had the privilege last year of leading Gordon's funeral. And he is now in the presence of God, finding joy and peace. He got a little glimpse in those moments at that arts cafe and when he received communion. He got little glimpses in those moments of the joy and the peace that he is now experiencing. But they were tiny, tiny little glimpses of what is to come. You can know that too today. You can know, whatever age you're at, whatever you define yourself as, whatever situation you're in, however bad you've been, Jesus invites you to his table. Come and receive from him. Come and be loved by him. Come and receive the embrace of the Father in your life. The other thing I want to talk about just briefly is the hope that Jesus brings to us when we come to his table. The great Christian hope. Think back to those verses we began with. On that mountain, there will be a great banquet for all nations, for all peoples. The finest of meats, the finest of wines. A banquet where death will be destroyed forever. You know, in these times, there's a lot of death around, isn't there? There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of fear. Jesus invites everyone to receive eternal food that will sustain us through these times of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because he has been there, he has been to death, he's been through death, and he's emerged on the other side to say, there is hope. Most of the resurrection appearances of Jesus in the Gospels are associated with food. He makes the barbecue on the beach for his disciples. On the road to Emmaus, they're walking, and it's only when they break bread together that Jesus is revealed to them. Remember when he became real to us in the breaking of bread, when he manifests himself to us in the breaking of bread. It's in that moment when Jesus is revealed. And so that for the earliest church, the risen Jesus was always associated with the taking of a meal together in his name. And they would expect that as they ate together, that the risen Jesus would be present with them, just as he was at Emmaus, just as he was on the beach, just as he was in Acts chapter 1, where it says, as they were eating together, Jesus spoke to them. And so for me, one of the stories that brings this home to me is we run a breakfast group every morning of term time for 10 children who are referred to us by the local school, who are really struggling. They've got very difficult situations going on at home. And we try to provide a place where our small team can just be family with them before they go into school, just to love them, to talk about their feelings and their emotions, and to just to be something of the presence of Jesus for those kids. And we see amazing changes in their behaviour and their attainment at school as a result of just being part of that family each morning of their school time. And one of the things we do is have we do like trips out with them sometimes. And one of the trips, I ended up driving a minibus for them. And so I remember we went to this kind of water park thing, and I remember sitting at the side watching and waiting for them to be done. And one of the little girls came to talk to me, and she's about the same age as my little daughter Hannah, who's 10, and she's got this kind of dirty blonde hair, and just she looked at me in the eyes, and we were chatting a little bit, and she had these eyes that are really sad, you know, and way too sad for someone who's 10. You know, she's seen too much. And I remember she looked at me and she said to me, "Chris, is it all gonna be okay?" And I remember thinking in that moment, what do I say here? Because I know that when she goes home tonight, it's not gonna be okay. I can't change that right now. I'd like to rescue her and adopt her or something, but I can't change that situation, and it's not going to be okay later today, and it's not going to be okay tomorrow either. But I don't know if you've asked that question this year. Is it all going to be okay? That's how a lot of us have felt. We're asking God, is it all going to be okay? When's it going to be okay? When can we do normal things again? When can this loneliness go? When can this anxiety disappear? And we're asking God, we're asking other people, is it all going to be okay? And these verses, this is what gives us the assurance that the ultimate answer is yes. Yeah, maybe not today, but it is all going to be okay, because on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, especially that little girl that I was talking to. She'll be one of the first on the invite. She'll be one of the ones who are sitting closest to Jesus. A feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. This is what I wanted to communicate to her on that day, but I didn't have the right words. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. That's what it feels at the moment, doesn't it? A sheet, a shroud that enfolds all of the nations right at the moment. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He'll remove his people's disgrace from the earth. Those of you that have asked that question a lot this year, is it all going to be okay? And you're almost like you don't want to know the answer because you think the answer's going to be no. You can receive the hope of Jesus today that says, yeah, ultimately it is. There's a feast that you're invited to. And on that mountain, the Lord Almighty will swallow up death forever. That shroud that enfolds the nations is going to be destroyed. And the risen Jesus, wherever you're watching this from, the risen Jesus is present with you by his Spirit in your home or wherever you're watching right now. whether it's chaotic and there's kids messing around and there's noise going on, or whether you just sat there on your own somewhere. You're not on your own. The risen Jesus is present with you by his Spirit. And he wants to eat with you. He wants to welcome you. If you feel like you're so far from God, then you've done too many bad things. You're exactly the kind of person that Jesus says, come and eat with me. Or more to the point, Jesus used to, he hardly ever asked people to his own house, but he invited himself to their house. He was usually the guest. And he invites himself today into your house. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm coming to your house today. You might feel like you're hiding up in a tree somewhere, getting a little glimpse of Jesus. And he's saying to you today, come down from the tree. I want to eat with you today. And when you eat with Jesus, things change. Nothing is the same again. You realise that you're happy for the first time in decades, like Gordon did. You get some hope when you think, is it all going to be all right? Jesus goes, yeah, it is. And you can get a glimpse of that today. You can get a glimpse of that in the bread and the wine. You can get a glimpse of that as you pray, as you sing songs to Jesus. You can get a glimpse of that as you serve those who are less fortunate than you are. You can get a glimpse of that when you say, would you come and fill me again today, Lord? And that's what I want to pray for you all today, just now. So if you're able to, you might want to close your eyes. You might want to reach your hands out in front of you as if you're receiving a gift. And I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for your invitation, Jesus. Your invitation for all the nations, all the peoples. Thank you for the way that you invited the most unlikely ones, the most annoying ones, the most smelly ones, the most sinful ones, the most despised and rejected ones. But you also invited the religious leaders. You also ate with those with some riches and those with some power. Whatever category we fall into, you invite us. All who are thirsty, all who are hungry, come and drink and eat and experience the transformation that comes in the presence of the Holy One, the presence of Jesus. And just in the quiet, listen to what the Spirit might be saying. We've just been doing a series on hearing God speak, so let's hear him just now.